Lots of us take hikes, but we'll venture a guess that few of us take hikes the way Jennifer Farr Davis takes them. She is fast, for one thing, holds records for time down the trail in some cases. She was the National Geographic Adventurer of the Year in 2012, and she'll be talking to audiences in libraries around Jackson County on Wednesday and Thursday of this week. And one of the things they're likely to ask, what makes her go so fast? One of many questions we have as well. Jennifer Farr Davis, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Do you still remember a first hike that got you hooked on spending time outdoors the way you do?
Well, I really didn't start hiking until I was 21 years old and just out of college. And then I decided to try the Appalachian Trail out on the East Coast and really had minimal backpacking experience. And it was a 5-month journey that completely changed my life. So after that, I was hooked.
So it really did completely change your life. This is what you do for a living now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. This is what we do for a living. We have a guiding company in Asheville, North Carolina, where we live. And then I'm an author, and we give talks and workshops to help get people outdoors.
So it's one thing to take a hike and to hike a long way on, for example, the Appalachian Trail. It's quite another thing to take really long and really fast hikes. How did the level of speed and competition rise in your life?
Yeah, well, I think it's important to note that I've been able to hike in a lot of different ways, and most of my hiking or backpacking is at a traditional pace or style, but life happens. You know, life happens, and these long-distance trails take a long time to complete, and by the time I was in my mid-20s, I was married and starting my own hiking company and had very little time to get on the trail, but still a deep desire to complete these long paths. And you know, ironically, I had a husband who was not necessarily a long-distance hiker, but he was extremely supportive, and he was a public school teacher. So we decided that really there were two main times where we tried to go quickly down a trail, and one was in 2008, and then one was in 2011, and he helped me down the Appalachian Trail, bringing me supplies so I could hike all day, and 2011 was the year where we set the record.
So tell us about the records. I mean, you actually hold two on the Appalachian Trail, and that's the both of them are quite impressive.
Yeah, so the first time we went out there, which was the 2008 trip that I alluded to, we were newlyweds, and Brew knew he didn't want to hike all summer. Brew was my husband, and I knew I really wanted to do the Appalachian Trail, and so we thought, well, you know, if we do it together and he's helping me and I'm hiking from sunup to sundown, which I love to do, then I can probably finish in the summer months and we'll be together and, you know, it'll be a nice journey for us to share. And so I did have the goal of establishing a women's record because, quite frankly, it didn't exist on the AT. All the records are held by men, regardless. I mean, it could have been a speed record, oldest hiker, youngest hiker, person to do it the most time. They were all held by men. And I just thought, well, there should be a women's mark, too, and since one doesn't exist, let's try to set it. So we wrapped up the trail that summer in 57 days, and I averaged 38 miles a day, and I got to the end, and two things happened. A, I had something left. I still had some energy. I still had a reserve that I hadn't tapped into, and I knew I could probably do it better. And then B, I realized long-distance records aren't about speed or strength or gender, they're all about, you know, endurance and support. So that gave us this very nagging idea that we might be able to go back and actually set the overall record on the trail, which is what we did 3 years later.
Wow. So at 38 miles a day, you were still thinking you could go faster.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
You said it. So then you went after it again. And well, first of all, let's talk about even at the pace at which you set the women's record. I mean, what is that like on your body? How do you keep enough food in you? How much weight do you lose over the course of those days?
The 2008 women's record and the 2011 overall record were different animals in my mind. I really did enjoy it in 2008. It was not that hard on my body. Getting enough food was not an issue. It was, as far as the record is concerned, it was a very relaxed record and a relaxed pace. It actually, I considered it to be easier with all the support I was receiving than my first traditional thru hike on the Appalachian Trail where I carried all my own gear. But 2011, to set the record, I had to go another 10 miles a day. So I had to chop 10 days off the time. I finished in 57 days for the women's record. the men's record was 47 days. I had to hike 10 more miles a day. I had to finish the trail 10 days faster. And in order to do that, I was having to eat over 6,000 calories a day and still losing weight. And I had a night hike every day, whereas the women's record, I just, you know, got up with the sun and went down when the sun went down. And so it was a very different experience, very hard on my body. I felt very worn down, fatigued, sick at the end. But, you know, I didn't do it for my health. I did it because it was my passion, and I loved the trail, and I wanted to see what my best really was.
Wow. Jennifer Farr Davis is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We've identified her as super hiker here. She's going to be appearing at the libraries in Medford, Ashland, and Eagle Point Wednesday and Thursday of this week. And you can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Ask her about her adventures, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, and our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. 6,000 calories a day, so you're basically eating what three adults can eat in a day and still managing to lose weight because you're pushing so hard. How much time are you spending hiking in darkness then?
A little bit every morning and every night. We started the trail in mid-June to maximize daylight, but every morning and every night I was in the dark a little bit, and it increased as time went on. So towards the end, it was about 4 hours a day in the dark. And, you know, that was a difference. A lot of people try to run to break this record, and potentially they would have shorter days. But since I was hiking, I was on the trail for 16 or 17 hours a day.
Wow, it was like a full-time job.
Yeah.
More than a full-time job, two full-time jobs. Sure, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So basically all you did in your waking hours, what kind of toll does that take? You talked, I mean, obviously you were broken down and sick or at least, you know, ailing a bit by the time you were done with the hike. What does that do? I mean, how many pairs of shoes do you go through and you know, what other sorts of supplies do you have to provide for a hike like that?
I went through about 7 pairs of shoes and some socks, but you know the gear is pretty minimal. Since my husband was meeting me at road crossings, most of the time I just carried a day pack. If I could camp at a road crossing, that was ideal because I didn't have to carry extra weight. But sometimes that didn't work, so I'd backpack with a very light overnight bag. But it just, you know, really food and then gas for the car, because my husband was meeting me at the trailhead. Those were probably the two main resources that we were using that summer.
Given how far apart trailheads can be, I mean, did he have to drive about 100 miles just to be able to get you at either end of the 48?
Not always. So the Appalachian Trail, you know, being on the East Coast, it has so many road crossings, and they're not all nice paved roads. They're Forest Service roads, a lot of them are washed out or hard to navigate. But, you know, I had the opportunity to see him every day, if not a couple times a day, which wouldn't happen if I were out on the Pacific Crest Trail or Continental Divide Trail. It'd be much harder logistically. But that's one of the benefits of doing a supported record like this out east.
All right. And there is an asterisk next to this is the supported record versus is there an unsupported time down the Appalachian Trail?
Mm-hmm. There is an unsupported time, and it's 58 and a half days.
Okay, so quite a difference here. You've written two memoirs, Becoming Odessa and Called Again. How do you find time to write? It sounds like you're very busy otherwise.
Well, we actually really try to lead a balanced lifestyle. We just do it in seasons. So we'll have a very intense summer or hiking season, and then winter is the time to hibernate and write. So I do a lot of writing in the winter. And Becoming Odessa is a, you know, if you want to read about a traditional through hike, it's the story of when I was 21 and went out to the trail, and it's got a great external description of the trail and the culture and the hikers. And then if you're interested in an internal journey and sports psychology, then Called Again is the story of the record, and it'll really detail how we, you know, how we went about trying to accomplish that mark.
These are two very different mindsets, though, aren't they? I mean, Becoming Odessa, you know, sort of the adventure sort of things and looking at things versus the Called Again part where you're just heading down the trail.
Right. They're very different. And that's the thing, you know, most folks wouldn't write two books on the same trail, but the experiences were so completely different. And, you know, the point, even when we share stories about the record, and the record's a great platform, but it's not the point. Like, we're not promoting that folks should go quickly down the trail unless they want to. If they want a challenge, they can have that. But the trail's there for everyone at every phase of life. And one of the reasons I wanted to do the record is because I knew my next adventure was that I wanted to be a mom. I wanted to have a family. And for a long time, I'd be going really, really slow. And, you know, Carrie, we have a now almost 2-year-old daughter, and we just joke that we're naturalists. We're not hikers anymore because we look at every leaf and every twig and every rock. And it's awesome. Like, I don't think it's any better or any worse than the record. It's just different. And the trail, that's what the trail does. It meets you at every phase of life, which is so cool.
Jennifer Farr Davis is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, former National Geographic Adventurer of the Year, holder of the thru-hike record for the Appalachian Trail. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. What was that like, being named National Geographic Adventurer of the Year?
It was flattering. It was unexpected. But they were, you know, very clear when I received that award that it wasn't because I set the record on the trail. They weren't rewarding speed or doing the trail in a really quick manner. Instead, they said, you know, this is a mark that's always been held by men, and for the past 30 years it's been held by elite trail runners, and you're a woman and a hiker, and basically no one thought that I had a chance. And I went about it in a different way. I had a different strategy. To put it very simplistically, it was a 21st century story of the tortoise and the hare, and I was the tortoise. And so they liked that I redefined kind of the sport and what was possible and who could go after it, and that's what they were acknowledging.
How strategic was it? I mean, did you plan your starting and ending points every single day, long in advance?
Yeah, well, you have to remain flexible because you're out of control. You don't know what the weather is going to be like. You don't know how you're going to feel on any specific day. But we had really done our homework, and I don't think people realize how important the support aspect is to the overall record. And having my husband out there and several other hikers and friends out there at different times to help us was just so huge. And that's one of the best lessons of doing the record for me, was that it took this trail that I completed when I was 21 at a time where it taught me all about self-sufficiency and independency. And then 8 years later, it was teaching me all about trust and teamwork and communication, and that dependency can be just as important as independence. So that teamwork aspect is, and the logistics of the support crew is very, very important to your success.
Here's a call from Leslie in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Jennifer Farr Davis.
Thank you. Just wondering, what were some of the weather challenges that you faced on the AT?
Excellent question. Thanks for that, Leslie.
That is a good question. You know, I had okay weather that summer. I didn't have great weather. I didn't have horrible weather. But the hard part was I got really bad weather in one of the places that you really don't want it. I started in Maine, was going down to Georgia. Again, it's a 2,200-mile trail, 14 states. And if there's one state you wake up in the morning and you pray for good weather, it's New Hampshire. And I got there and I had really bad weather in New Hampshire. It was the last week of June, and I had really heavy rains. I had sleet and high winds, and that's the part of the trail. You're above tree line. Visibility was so poor, I got lost. It took me a while to recorrect, and on the trail, very rocky, and they were slick rocks, so I was slipping and falling, and it really, and at one point got hypothermic in the sleet storm. So that was that, and the fact that I got shin splints at the beginning of the trip were the two hardest obstacles that physically I had to overcome.
Wow. Just aside from the physical challenges, how do you keep sane when you're just having to keep pushing forward 16, 17, 18 hours a day?
You know, that part wasn't as hard as you would think. I love the trail. I love the trail. I love my husband, who was helping me along the way. The motivation to hike wasn't a struggle. Overcoming physical ailments and fatigue and sleep deprivation, and even having some, you know, strained social relationships with hikers who came out to help us, and they weren't expecting the intensity of the record. They wanted, you know, they wanted to have fun, and it was not a fun summer. I'll say, you know, in my opinion, it was better than fun, but the desire to hike was always there, and it still is.
Have you ever hiked the Pacific Crest Trail, and will you do part of it while you're out here in the Rogue Valley?
I have hiked the Pacific Crest Trail, and I love it. You know, people ask, well, why the AP? Why is it your favorite? And I say, well, it's my home. It's where I grew up. It's the trail that I can get to every weekend. And I know the PCT is really special, and for most people out here, it's just a really transformative trail like the AP is for me. So we are going to try to get on it a little bit now that we hike with our daughter. It's pretty slow going, but we're coming to you guys from Bend, and you know, we've been able to get out here a little bit, and we always try to do little hikes wherever we go. So hopefully we'll get to do a few small pieces of the PCT.
All right. So I guess with your daughter in tow now, you really have to actually stop and smell the roses in a sense.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, could you even be aware of the scenery when you were on the really super long hikes?
Oh, yeah. I think you're even more aware because you need the inspiration of nature, like, even more. Like, on the trail, I was on empty, you know? And again, that whole, like, well, what made you keep going? And sometimes it was just as simple as looking around and drinking in my surroundings. Or, you know, I love, like, just dragging my fingertips along the bark of trees as I walk down the trail and soaking in some of their beauty and wisdom. And so I'm always very aware of my surroundings.
All right. Jennifer Farr Davis, former National Geographic Adventurer of the Year, Library Talks in Medford Ashland at Eagle Point, Wednesday and Thursday of this week. Call your local library for details. Jennifer, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. Have a great day.